Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. This is God's Word. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go. It will be done just as you believed it would." And his centurion was healed at that very hour. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her. She got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. "He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. There are several things we want to try and touch on in this passage. The first is that Jesus heals people. I mean, he does. He heals people. And we live in such a materialistic, skeptical age that sometimes it's hard for us to believe that when it happens. This morning, I was delighted to hear that one of our students, who had been told he had multiple fractures in his foot, went back for follow-up, and they did further x-rays and told him, no fractures. Is that good news? I mean, praise the Lord. Kind of reminded me of when my son Andrew and I went to Kenya and we first arrived there, and the missionary that we were going to be staying with, his eldest daughter, was with him in Nairobi to pick us up because she had been injured in athletic competition. And they told her she had a fracture and a torn ligament in her knee, and it was going to require surgery. So they basically drove us with her, bouncing over the horrible roads. I mean, you just can't imagine. Of course, she's in terrible pain. and went to their house, and then the next day had to take her back to Nairobi. Her mom had to take her back to Nairobi and have her surgery. So they did that, and when they got back there for the surgery, they went to do it and, of course, did the x-ray again right before the surgery and found that there was no fracture and no torn ligament. Are these doctors just lousy or what? No, I think God answers prayer. Now, sometimes we pray and God sees fit to leave people with illness and injury and suffering. As the father of a son who's had over 40 surgeries and is only 38 years old, I know that God doesn't always do what we want, the way we want it, when we want it. But I also know that we've seen, even in the life of that son, amazing answers to prayer. Miraculous things that have happened where God has touched him and where God has touched others that we've prayed for and brought instantaneous healing. So Jesus heals people. Point number one, Jesus heals people. Point number two, Jesus does it because he has authority to do it. Please notice that after the story of the leper who came and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus said, "I am willing," and touched him, which was unthinkable. You just don't touch lepers. They had to stay at a distance and call out, "Unclean, unclean," to warn people lest someone accidentally touch them. Jesus deliberately reached out and touched this man and healed him. But the very next occurrence in this passage is the servant of a centurion. A centurion was a Roman soldier, a man of rank. He was an officer. And this centurion came to Jesus because he'd heard about Jesus. He was not a Jew, but he had heard about Jesus living there in that Jewish area. And he believed that Jesus could heal. But he also believed something else, something that other people hadn't picked up on. He said, "For I too am a man under authority. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to this one, come, and he comes." Why did he say under authority? In our culture, we would say, "For I too am a man with authority," or "For I too am a man in authority. I've got authority." But you see, this Roman officer understood where authority comes from. Please get this. Please write this down. Please learn this. In order to be in authority, you have to be under authority. Do you want to be someday a parent who is able to direct your children and have them obey? You've got to be under authority if you want to do that. My wife has taught numerous seminars, women's groups, retreats, etc. And one of the things that she goes out of her way to teach the various groups she speaks to is, when I found my children being disrespectful to me, I had to stop and consider the fact that they were reflecting my attitude toward my husband. If I'm not being respectful toward my husband, I can't count on my children being respectful to me. So it is good to be the man, right? Hey, the husband has to be submitted to God. Well, aren't wives supposed to be submitted to God? Of course. But how does a wife demonstrate that? Look at the book of Ephesians, look at Colossians. The submission of a wife to her husband is out of reverence for Christ. It's not because she thinks her husband is God. It's because God says the wife is to submit to the husband. Not because the husband's smarter, not because the husband's better, but because the husband's in charge. Well, what if my husband's an idiot? All of us are flawed people, but all of us need to find where God has put us, those who we're supposed to be responsible over, and those to whom we're to be responsible. Those we answer to. I am the co-founder and chief executive officer and president of Wares Valley Ranch and headmaster of St. Andrew's School and senior pastor of Covenant Community Church. That makes you the kind of like the boss of bosses, doesn't it? I do have a number of people who report to me, but guess what? I have a board. I have a board for Wares Valley Ranch, and I answer to them. I have a board for Jim Wood Ministries, and I answer to them. We have three elders in our church, and believe it or not, when we have our monthly meeting, I say, gentlemen, what do you think? Why? Because that's the way God sets things up. When I was growing up, if I wanted to disagree with my parents, my mom or my dad, we began with this phrase, I beg your pardon, but I was thinking this, or I beg your pardon, but why do we need to do this? You began with a statement that demonstrated that you are submitted to their authority, that you are not coming to combat wits with them, not trying to match wits and see who's going to win this argument. You come with a clear understanding that they are in charge, and even if you don't agree with what they have to say, you got to do what they have to say, because they're in charge. You need to submit to authority unless someone is trying to get you to do something that is a violation of God's word. You're to submit to those who are in authority over you. Well, I think that's a ridiculous way of doing it. Well, maybe that's why God put you in this situation. Because I guarantee you there will be tons of things in your life where you will not think that was the smartest way to do it, and it may not have been the smartest way to do it. But I have learned so much across the years from people who were in authority over me, even when we had disagreements and even when I thought I knew better. I'll tell you something. This centurion said something to Jesus that astonished Jesus. Jesus was surprised. He said, I have not found such great faith among the house of Israel. Because this Gentile recognized that Jesus not only had authority, but that the reason Jesus had authority is that he was totally submitted to a higher authority. How can he be submitted to a higher authority? Jesus is God. Yes, but Jesus didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he emptied himself and became a servant, was obedient even to the point of death. Therefore, God has exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. They asked Jesus, how do you have this authority? Where did you get this power and this authority? He said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. Man, I just want to be my own boss. I want to do my own thing. I don't want anybody bossing me around. That's many people's dream. That's a stupid dream. If your great goal in life is not to have to work for anybody else, you've got an attitude problem. You understand? If you feel like you always know best, you don't know nearly as much as you think. So Jesus was amazed that this fellow recognized what he did. He said, I myself, verse 9, am a man under authority. If you want to be in authority, you got to be under authority. I myself am a man under authority.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, Jesus said to the centurion, after making a little statement to his disciples who were there, about the fact that Gentiles, many of them, would be saved, and many people who were Jewish would be lost, not all the Jews, but many. It's not about ethnicity. It's not about your family you grew up in. It's about your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what determines whether or not you're a Christian. You can grow up with Christian parents and go to hell. You can grow up with parents who are trying to get you to do drugs and be involved in sexual immorality, and you can become a follower of Jesus Christ and live for Him and bring others into the kingdom. Jesus said, many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go and it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that very hour. Why? How'd that happen? Jesus didn't even go and visit the servant. He didn't have to. Jesus said it, so it happened. The Word of God is alive. And it's powerful. And it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Let me tell you something about God's Word. It will never return to Him void. It will accomplish that for which He sent it. So, Jesus healed the centurion's servant according to the centurion's faith. Then beginning in verse 14, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. The apostle Peter was a married man. Okay? He's regarded by Roman Catholic tradition as the first pope. So let the record show that the pope was a married man. Okay? This idea that somehow you're more spiritual if you're celibate single person is not something we get out of the Bible. Peter was a married man. He had a mother-in-law. And the mother-in-law was lying in bed with a fever. Jesus touched her hand and the fever left her and she got up and began to wait on him. Now, I don't have time to linger on that, but I just do want to point out, once you're healed, get on with it. All right? Verse 16. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him. What does that mean? It means that they were under the control of evil spirits. And Jesus drove out the spirits with a word. Not through a protracted ceremony. He drove out those spirits with a word. How did he do that? Well, he had authority over them. He had authority over them. So he spoke the word, and those demons had to flee. And he healed all the sick. Can you imagine how exciting that would be? How tremendous. But this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our disease. Our diseases were put on him. And one of the ministries of our risen Lord Jesus Christ is that he still heals people. But he does it in submission to the Father. He was always perfectly obedient to the Father. Even as he faced the cross, he prayed, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." That was why Jesus had such perfect authority. He was under authority. As the Son of God, he was doing the will of the Father. And if you and I want supernatural authority in our lives, the path is not by increasingly saying, "I'm going to throw off human restraint." The path is by saying, "Father, I want to be totally yielded to you. I want to do whatever you want. I want to say what you want me to say. I want to go where you want me to go. I want to do what you want me to do." That's where authority comes from. It comes from him. Years ago, I read a book by a famous American pastor and Bible scholar who shall remain nameless. This guy was attacking anybody who believed that the gifts of the Spirit are still in operation today within the church. He found that a dangerous idea, the idea that the gifts are still happening within the body. And so in order to make his case biblically, he set out really an excellent treatise on how to interpret the Scriptures. And then he began to go through using that method in order to say that the gifts of the Spirit are no longer in operation today. The problem is he couldn't do it using his method. So whenever he would come to a text where if he followed his method, it wouldn't come out the way he wanted it to, he would just deviate from his method and do it differently and still insist on his conclusion. You know what his page in the book said about this passage? That it's a difficult passage. Why is it difficult? Because it doesn't fit what I want it to say. He doesn't have any other explanation. Just, "Oh, that's difficult." Let me tell you something. This isn't difficult. I want you to understand what it says, because it's very clear. Jesus healed all the people who were brought to him who were sick. Those who had demons, he cast them out with a word. Those who were sick, he healed them all. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. What was spoken by the prophet Isaiah? "He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases." So when Isaiah said that, he wasn't just talking about our spiritual brokenness. He was also talking about our physical infirmities and our diseases, because that's what Jesus healed in this passage that we just read from Matthew. As one of my son's seminary professors said wisely, "The Bible means what it says, and it says what it means." And every now and then, when you're reading through the Bible, you'll come to something that kind of challenges stuff you've always thought, always taught, always said, always felt. And when that happens, you need to realize the Bible's right. I was wrong. I need to submit to authority. To a God who is uncontainable, our God is the only true God. You can try to fight him like a fool, or you can submit to him and say, "Thy will be done."
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.